Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
That's enough, we won't back more compliments anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Drake drops the verse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow it so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow it with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas. Calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you'll want to squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
I want to grow it. I want to taste it.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
My kind of girl.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Hey, yo, hey, yo.
Yeah. Plant Fair 2014.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we're fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism, and that is why we march against Monsanto.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An embellished and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Shalom, and praises to our Father. Now that the Ruach has revealed that we are in Babylon, it is important that we continue to keep seeking the Father's truth. The best way is to ask that the Ruach HaKodesh to lead us, and with that, let us reason together and listen to the Sound Doctrine Spiritual Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Join host Betty Yah Emanuel, Asad Batiyah, and our researcher extraordinaire, Iman Prophet, every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central, as we present the truth according to the set-apart scriptures. As always, stopping by is the occasional guest and set-apart music that honors Father Yah. You can also listen in to the show at 347-324-3704 or join us in our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Stay in the will of the Father. Peace to your hearts and homes. Shalom.
There are a lot of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
Hi,
welcome to Barefoot.
Go ahead,
we both tried to talk at the same time. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm Sierra. That's John. We both tried to talk at the same time because we're both so excited to be hosting Barefoot is Legal Radio. Yay!
Yes, we are. All right. This week, we are going to talk about some of the foot pain related to running, some of the discrimination that's out there against Barefoot. We have some good articles coming up, but we'll start out with the tweets.
So we have just a couple this week. We've got one from Marie Bregg, birthday dinner with the man, hashtag barefoot at Farmer's Apprentice. Kevin Park says, I take off my shoes and go barefoot any chance I get. JN Pluto says, barefoot 2-miler in light rain. Nice. Albert Olivella says, like father, like son, hashtag barefoot. Got a picture of him and his son's feet together. They're both barefoot. And Juan Rascale says, rule one, when you see a tree, climb it, hashtag barefoot. A picture of climbing a tree in Vibram Five Fingers, which isn't quite barefoot, but we know not everybody's quite ready to take the full plunge and go 100% barefoot. So whatever level of barefooting you're comfortable with, good for you. Go for it. Keep your feet healthy.
Yes, definitely. And Sierra, I was very happy to see your tweet this week, being on the Utah light rail system. I guess it's a light rail system.
Yeah. They have a rule that you can't be barefoot. I was going to take a picture of the sign, but I didn't want to be that creepy person that looks like I'm trying to take a picture of another person on the train. So I didn't take a picture of the sign, but they have a on their train that's posted, shirt and shoes required. So I guess in theory I could go in like a bikini and flip-flops and be okay. But that's gross, so please don't do that, people. But so John makes flip-top barefoot sandals. So they look like a sandal from the top, but they don't actually have a sole. There's a tiny little piece of foam and elastic that goes between your toes. And the model that I prefer hooks around your ankle. He also makes some that can attach to your pants with Velcro. But I was in a skirt, so didn't really have that option. And so I put these sandals on when I got on the train, took them off when I got off, and didn't get in any trouble. Nobody said anything. So, yeah, it was a success.
Yay. Very glad to hear that.
Yeah, it blew some little teenage girls' minds. They were like, oh,
yeah,
my gosh, are those shoes?
Did you have more on your ankle when you switched them, or did you just have taken them off all the way?
I pulled them out of my bag. They saw me putting them on. So I pulled them out of my bag and put them on, and they're like, whoa, cool. Yeah.
I just wonder, because they're also designed to be stored as an anklet if you prefer, you know, around the ankle. But
yeah.
Also on that, I'm very excited this week. I actually came out with a pair that look like the flip-flops that do not require being attached to jeans. And I've been very excited about the results so far with that. They're over on my page, Flip Top Barefoot Wear, on the Facebook page, if anyone wants to take a look. So that was exciting for the week. It really worked out well. I mean, I was actually amazed how much they looked like flip-flops without anything underneath.
Yeah, they are. They're very convincing. It's just piece of foam that goes in between your toes, and then like a little strap that goes under the arch of your foot.
Right.
For the for the new model. They're exciting.
Yeah. And since it's right under that arch area where you barely touch the ground, you really don't notice it. I was actually kind of surprised, because I've always been averse to having anything that would have be connected underneath. But with all the different options I've tried, that seems to have been the best one.
And out of all the barefoot sandals I've tried, these are actually probably the most convincing. So it's good. I mean, I don't care for things on my feet, so therefore, you know, places where I'd get kicked out for being barefoot that I can't avoid going on, like public transit. But in terms of comfort, they're about the same as a pair of flip-flops, except you actually get to feel the grounding benefits of being in touch, direct skin contact with the earth, which is awesome.
Right, and since you're not pulling up that sole underneath, you don't have quite that pull between your toes either that you would get with a flip-flop.
Exactly.
So, very glad to hear that.
Oh, making strides.
I reached out to Amanda. Hopefully she'll be able to join us today. Haven't heard back just yet. Forward, she has committed to going 100% barefoot, and I think she's been doing it for a little over a month now. So it'll be interesting to hear her comments and reactions on how that's going. So hopefully she'll be able to join us this week.
Always great to hear from new converts to the barefoot movement, as I like to call it.
Yes, definitely. It still amazes me how relatively small we are. I mean, yeah, we're approaching the 5,000 mark on members, but there was a few posts this week where someone saw, you know, other people out in public barefoot when they were out, but it's so rare, at least for me. Maybe, you know, other people have a different opinion, but when I'm doing pet rescue and I'm in a big box store, pet store, every Sunday, and I can't even tell you the last time I've seen somebody come in barefoot. It's really been a while, and to me that's kind of sad.
Well, especially since you live in Florida where it's, I mean, it's warm enough. I mean, sometimes it's probably a little too warm for most people to go barefoot, but it's warm enough pretty much year-round except for like a week in January where it gets below freezing. But, I mean, pretty much year-round it's warm enough and a temperate climate enough that it's possible to go barefoot year-round as long as you're not walking
right
on like crazy burn your feet off hot asphalt.
Yeah, and the interesting thing here is that's the thing. I've noticed it's been on days where it's just perfect out. You know, the ground's nice and, you know, comfortable, not too hot at times. I mean, there are days, obviously, it is. But, you know, I'm year-round every single Sunday. I think we usually miss, like, one Sunday a year. Otherwise, I'm there every single Sunday, so the weather's different all the time, and I'm just not seeing it. So we really encourage people to get out there, you know, to get the exposure out there. Definitely would help.
Absolutely. Well, and it's good for you, too. So even if you're not, you know, spreading the word of the barefoot movement, just take advantage of the health benefits for yourself. There's so many, and including less pain. We've got an article about foot pain after running from runforfoot.com. Do you want to talk about that one, John?
Sure, I can do that. Foot pain after running, go barefoot for recovery. And it says here, that, and this was from Bretta Riches in Forefoot Running Tips. Foot pain after running is often due to swelling of the metatarsal fat pads or soft tissue elsewhere in the foot. As a result, runners are quick to encase the foot in a cushioned shoe with support under the assumption that the foot is a highly fragile unit of the body. This is a myth. When it comes to foot pain after running, the last thing you want to do is encase the foot in a stiff running shoe. Instead, the best method to promote foot recovery is through barefoot adaptations. The basic assumption is that when the foot is sore after running, it needs to be immobilized to prevent further injury. However, immobilizing the foot with a traditional running shoe slows recovery rather than accelerate. The traditional running shoes prevent the foot from yielding normal load, which in turn increases the risk of atrophy in the intrinsic foot muscular and other internal foot structures. This is how the traditional running shoes slows recovery and contributes to the foot weakness. And that makes perfect sense, because just like if you're wearing a cast or something, you know, there are times that is a requirement, of course, if somebody breaks a bone or something, but it is going to slow the recovery once that's done. Then it says barefoot to running. Walking barefoot with foot pain after running has a direct route to accelerate recovery. Why? Because it builds up foot strength, the sensory receptors, and I know this word and I mess it up every time.
Proprioceptors.
Proprioceptors. Why can I not get that right? Proprioceptors. pretty much your awareness of the surroundings around you. In the plantar surface of the feet need to always be activated. You know, just like your car has sensors that have to work and give you feedback, your feet do as well. And those proprioceptors do that for you. Running shoes reduce sensory traffic, thereby preventing the buildup of foot strength needed to accelerate recovery. With that knowledge, diminished sensory feedback at the foot eventually leads to injury. Think of it just like you've probably heard of people that sometimes lose their ability to grip something, and they don't know how much pressure to put on it or how little. You know, when we're doing that to our foot, we're cutting off a lot of that sensory ability, and, you know, that can definitely lead to some injuries. Even more telling, a study by Robbins and Waked found that participants who performed barefoot activities had better protective sensations compared to the shod condition. Participants wearing running shoes unknowingly reached a higher level of impact than they were aware of. Running shoes were also found to augment impact because the participants altered their landing behavior to optimize stability. The researchers affirm that barefoot activity is the solution to injuries, particularly injuries of the foot, in runners simply because plantar sensory feedback is amplified to the fullest. The take-home message is that running shoes interfere with the natural signaling of the plantar surface. And despite advancements in shoe technology over the past 30 years, a problem has remained. Many runners still suffer foot pain after running. Robin and Wake also found that the most destabilizing conditions were surfaces with the softest materials. Why? Because the body perceives soft surfaces, including soft running shoes, as unstable, and thus the body acts to compress the cushioned material to optimize stability. And that makes sense. You know, if you're standing on something and it feels like it's moving under your feet, you know, you're not going to have that stability. You're not going to feel comfortable with the stability. So that does make a lot of sense. This means that the body struggles to find a stable surface when in a cushioned running shoe. Now you can begin to appreciate how running shoes can exacerbate foot pain while running, and that going barefoot is the wisest choice for better recovery.
I love that advice because it really points out that running shoes are not actually tested on humans that are running to see if it makes their foot pain better. They're tested in factories. They drop things on them. They run them over with cars. And say, look how stable it is. The shoe's still intact. But, I mean, how often are you getting run over by cars? How often are you, like, jumping off of a 20-foot tower that you need your shoes to protect you from that? What you really need is something that's going to protect your body from the shock of pounding on pavement, which isn't even a natural surface. I prefer to run on dirt tracks and gravel. But it's funny, you know, we build these crazy running shoes to protect us when our bodies have natural, like, resistance and shock distribution that are in our feet. You know, you've got the spring joint in your ankle. Because when you're running, your ankle's springing up and down, and that's a shock absorber if you're landing on the front of your foot. But if you're pounding on your heel like you have to in these thick, cushy running shoes, then you're going to have more of an impact on your heel, and that is where the pain comes from, the swelling of the tissues from being slammed over and over again into a not very soft surface. I mean, really, it's a shoe made of rubber on top of pavement. That's not soft. It's not a forgiving surface.
What I found interesting is the fact that it is somewhat soft inside, is that your body wants to compensate feeling that it's an unstable surface. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think about that. Like, you know, if you've ever climbed a tree or something and you're looking for stable branches or whatever to stand on, if something flexes and moves around, you're automatically not going to want to step there, you know. So that made a lot of sense to me. That was a very good point about the being soft. Actually, the input back to our brain says this is not a stable surface, you know, and it actually pushes down harder on it to gain stability.
Right.
I thought that was
and
very,
being in shoes, it confuses the sensory feedback from our feet. I mean, we have sensory nerves throughout our body, including in our feet, and they're sending back feedback to our brain constantly. And if we're shoving our feet inside of shoes, they're not getting accurate information about the environment that we're walking on. They're getting the information about the inside of the shoe, which, I mean, if it's the same environment, that's great. You know, if you're walking on squishy rubber and then you're wearing squishy rubber shoes, probably not ever going to happen, but, I mean, then you'd at least be getting accurate feedback. But you've also got this thick, cushioned, quote-unquote, sole that's also keeping you from being flat on the ground, causing your body to be even more confused, causing muscles to act in ways that they don't naturally work to try to stabilize you on this sole. Because you look at running shoes, it's got like an inch thick heel, and then at the toes it's maybe only half an inch thick. So you're at an incline. It's basically like if you were running in high heels or wedges, I guess. I don't really know much about shoes, but wedges are the ones with the thick bottom, I think.
We would neither ever wear. The thing also to me is, regardless of the thickness of any shoe, to me you're completely blinding your foot. Why are there more sensory receptors in your feet than anywhere else in your body? You know, I don't think they put them there designed to be completely encased in a shoe. To me, they're there because we need that sensory input. We make calculations and it's amazing the amount of calculations and decisions that have to be made all the time that we don't even, not even aware are happening for us to just even move or stand or breathe or do anything. And we cut those sensors off. I always use that, you know, that comparison of a car. You know, they're loaded with sensors nowadays, and if you cut them off, how's that thing going to run? It's just not. Again, the worst place to cut off is the feet. It is where you're getting the majority of that sensory input. You know, it's literally the first defense your body has. It's the first contact it's going to typically make with anything. So it's very important.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, why would you want to cut off your sensory nerves anywhere? I mean, you don't go around in wearing oven mitts all the time because you might burn yourself, because you have these sensors in your hands telling you sensory feedback about what you're touching. If it's hot, your body will tell you so you can react. Just like I was walking on crazy hot pavement the other day. My feet got hot. Surprise, surprise. It was my body telling me that it's not a safe surface to be walking on. So I went, instead of walking on pavement, I went and walked in grass or in shade. And my feet were fine because that's a safer surface to be walking on. But when you're, I mean, yes, inside shoes, you're not going to burn your feet. And there's all these posts that you see on Facebook, especially in the summer, where there's, it goes viral every summer. There's a picture of a little kid's foot with a giant blister from where he stepped right onto a hot metal doorstep. And hot metal doorsteps actually do get over 165 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in Celsius, just off the top of my head. And it's at 145 degrees Fahrenheit that skin destruction occurs at 60 seconds. So think 20 degrees Fahrenheit hotter happens even quicker. And so, yes, that's why you have these pain receptors to keep you safe from dangerous situations like that. I, a couple days ago, got a third-degree burn on my toe from a hot metal doorstep. It does happen. Luckily, I had thick enough calluses that it only actually burned about an eighth of an inch thick of my actual skin, but it literally melted right through the callus. So please do be careful of hot metal doorstops, because that was quite painful. But those aren't everywhere. You know, walking around outside in the summer, it's not just a whole bunch of hot metal doorsteps that you're going to step on. It's mostly concrete or pavement or grass or dirt paths, sand. You're not walking on hot metal everywhere. And if you are, you should probably reconsider your decision to be barefoot, because that's not safe.
It also speaks to, I had read a really interesting article about how the brain develops, and especially in children. As adults, we feel like we can reason with children. And I don't have children, so Sierra, please feel free to butt in whenever you'd like on this. But my experience has been, and from what I read, they learn through their experiences. you know, what you're telling them does not necessarily sink in until they've learned the benefits slash cost of what they're doing. And
exactly.
they have to experience the world. They cannot just be intellectually, now granted, this doesn't mean, you know, there's always an extreme, you know, they learn really quick where their limitations are too, just like we would, but telling them is not, they have to have some experience. The other part that amazes me is our bodies adjust, you know, when you do go barefoot, there are hazards, but the more you go, the more you know where that line is, and the more your body challenges that line and moves it forward where you're more comfortable. There are surfaces that when I was not walking barefoot that much, I think I've told this story before. I went to St. Augustine. I hadn't been there in a while, and I wasn't walking barefoot. This was years ago, as much as I would like to. It was like right after a winter, and at the time I was not. And I honestly thought they repaved some of the areas because they hurt so much, but it's just because my body had lost that resistance. It had to rebuild it. Now they feel fine. It's very comfortable. You know, I'm sure, Sierra, you're very familiar with St. George Street and in St. Augustine, and it's a very easy street to walk down. But I can remember I had to, like, walk only in certain areas because even where, like, the pebbles and everything gathered in the center from the rain washing them in was hurting. And now I can walk anywhere and not even think about it. It doesn't even faze me the slightest.
Yeah, well, and even I live in Canada. I go to Jacksonville every 2 years for summer vacation, and St. Augustine's about 30 miles south. And so I was walking around on St. George Street. This was 2012. So I'd been going barefoot for 2 years at that point and pretty much not wearing shoes at all. And it was no problem. I didn't have any issues whatsoever going down that street.
Right.
Hot asphalt, different story. But, I mean, I've gone barefoot for 5-6 winters now. I don't remember. I was sort of kind of going barefoot a little bit, but not full time, starting in winter of 2008-2009. So I would, like, go check my mail barefoot. People thought I was insane. But, I mean, you get used to it. Like, just like John can walk on hot pavement, which I feel like my feet are melting when I do, he probably couldn't, like, step out into the snow barefoot like I do because he would probably, like, get instant frostbite. It's, your body does adjust. I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy around the topic of evolution, but we do adapt to our surroundings. We would have died out a long time ago if we didn't. The human body pays attention to its surroundings and adapts. I don't remember how many of you remember learning about homeostasis in junior high, middle school science classes, but the body wants to maintain its current state. You know, if you're hot, you start sweating. If you're cold, you shiver so that the motion back and forth burns more calories and warms you up. If you are constantly doing something, like back when I was in high school and I did rowing, the oars rubbing against my hands, I built up calluses because my body didn't want the oars rubbing through my skin until I bled. My body built up calluses in resistance to that. It's the same thing with going barefoot. Your feet get tougher. They don't necessarily get those, like, thick, hard, white calluses that you see on feet that are kind of unhealthy and have been stuck inside shoes and have rubbed so much that they have thick friction calluses. But they do become thicker and tougher, almost like leather, after a while.
Yeah.
And you adapt to the surroundings that are around you. There are barefooters in Alaska. I don't know how they do it, but their body adjusts to it.
It's funny you say that, because I remember years ago I saw a show where these two ladies were going out to meet this guy that came in on a helicopter, and they had to walk a fairly long distance through all kinds of terrain. And it was in their, quote, summer months, but it was still pretty cold. And they were both barefoot. And it mentioned on that show that it was quite common up there for them, because they're so locked up in the cold weather, that when they do have the opportunity, you know, to go barefoot. That was interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. We do need to take an ad break, but when we come back, we'll be discussing a study done on barefoot running by Harvard University, the biomechanics of foot strikes and applications to barefoot running or in minimal footwear. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to look behind the curtain, to know the truth, to pierce the veil? Then prepare to go down the rabbit hole. Politics, economics, religion, culture, and history will be just some of the topics to be explored as we peel back the layers to find the answers to all we seek. Fridays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer Radio.
And I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we're fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the march against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism, and that is why we march against Monsanto.
Hi, and welcome back. Looks like we have Proof in the studio now joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, glad to see everybody here. What are you beautiful people doing today?
We are discussing the benefits of going barefoot and how the body recovers. We had an article that we covered foot pain and how people tend to want to immobilize the foot after running, and it's like the worst thing you can do for it.
Well, if you didn't mind, I had a question that I was going to throw out here, and it's mainly geared for Sierra.
Okay.
Sure.
Now that you've been in Salt Lake City for a little while, do you see any difference among John Q. Public within the United States as opposed to Canada?
Well, actually, I have not had any issues here except, where was it that I went? Somebody was like, you have to have shoes on. It was one place.
Where was that?
I don't even remember. It was like the first week I was here. I don't even remember.
I mean, was it a restaurant
like,
or
whatever.
A store or what?
It was some store that I was in. I honestly don't even remember. I tend to brush that kind of stuff off and ignore them and continue being barefoot in there.
Oh, I know.
But other than the plasma donation clinics where I go to donate my plasma to feel good about helping little kids with leukemia, I've been barefoot pretty much the whole time I've been here. I also put on shoes to go into the LDS temples because it's just out of respect thing. But it's actually surprising. I've hardly had any resistance about being barefoot down here. And it might be due to the fact that I've been wearing John's flip-flops that he sent me. I've been wearing those in places where it might be questionable to go barefoot. And even when I was wearing shoes, it was the Nike yoga shoes, which are they're similar to Sue Kenny's bare bottom shoes, her new sole ones. They're very similar to that in design. Just a very thin sole and then a crisscross strap across the top. They actually seem to be a lot more accepting down here in Utah than they are in Alberta, which is strange for me, as, I mean, I'm a dual citizen of the U.S. and Canada. I grew up mostly in the U.S. with people always telling me to put my shoes on. And then I go up to Canada, and initially it seemed like people up there didn't give a crap. You know, like I even had a boss in a restaurant who, after we were closed, when there were no longer customers in the store, let me be barefoot in,
yeah,
like, the kitchen area. But, I mean, coming down here, it was a little shop in a strip mall that they were like, oh, you can't be here without shoes on. And I was like, whatever, yes, I can. But nobody said anything other than that. And it's awesome. So I may have to reconsider my thoughts that Canada's more liberal in terms of barefoot, because right now it seems like Utah is the place to be. Oh, there was one other place. Brigham Young University campus told me I had to have shoes on. My best friend's the building coordinator of the student center, and she's like, you have to have shoes on. It is part of the health requirements for people in this building. And I was like, well, what's your definition of shoes? And she said, something on your feet, preferably something that covers the bottom. But the flip-tops were okay with her. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Glad to hear that. Glad they were okay,
yeah,
with it. And that is a very good question, because we were actually covering a little bit of that earlier, that, you know, even with all the information that's pouring out all the time, all the positive reasons you should go barefoot, you just rarely see other barefooters. I would think in Florida I would see them all the time, and I just don't. It's just really surprising that it hasn't caught on more yet.
Well, we all left and went
mind.
To... We all left and moved to Las Vegas and Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Proof and I both used to live in Jacksonville, where John lives, and we never ran into each other in... There was at least a five-year time period where we were all in the same city.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the time, probably all barefoot, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
But it is the largest landmass for a city there is, so that does speak to it as well. It's more.
Well, what blows
like
my
being,
mind even more, I only lived a few miles away from where Proof lived. We still never ran into each other.
Yeah,
he
wow.
lived by UNF campus, and I lived off Atlantic, which, I mean, not like neighbors or anything, but I would go to UNF campus all the time.
Hey, I was going to ask you, though, being in Utah, that there's a restaurant chain that my wife and I really like called Chuck-A-Rama. I don't know if you've ever been there or heard of it.
Oh, you like them? Oh, I'm judging you right now.
Yeah, the one in St. George happens to be really good. I don't know about other locations, but we like the one up there.
My brother and I call them Up Chuck-A-Rama because we always get
I've heard that
when
before.
We go.
Yeah. We find that to be a much better alternative to the Golden Corral.
Oh, gosh. Golden Corral is also awful.
Yeah, we called that the Golden Trough down here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, I used to think at least they put on a good breakfast, but the one here in Vegas doesn't even put breakfast on, so it's not even worth going to.
The only good thing about Golden Corral is their mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and if you stick the mashed potatoes on top of your spinach and cheese omelet, then that's good stuff.
I've never tried that, but probably never will, because I doubt I'll ever go there again.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder how the flip-tops would work in a buffet-type setting.
I might have to give that a try.
I've used them, and to be honest, you know, not to toot these, they are mine, of course, the design, but I literally, in 2 years, have not had one negative experience. I'm amazed by it. I'm sure it will happen eventually because I'm still barefoot.
Yeah.
But I go out a lot. I mean, I literally go out a lot. If you get a chance, go over to my Facebook page. You'll see a new style that I put out that I'm very excited about. They look like the flip tops that had to be attached to the jeans, but they don't require that. They just have a very small strap on them. And,
okay.
I've had a lot of good luck with those this week, and I'm not the type to normally wear shorts. That's just not me. but I have this week, and to be honest, I've probably been more uncomfortable with that than most people would be with going barefoot, but I have not had any problem with it.
That's awesome.
And I'm glad to hear it's working for you as well, Sierra.
Yeah, I mean, I don't particularly care for wearing things on my feet, but there are times when a little bit of deception is necessary to avoid being kicked out of somewhere I need to be.
And you know, it's funny, you mentioned the word deception, because when I designed them, that was what was in my mind that people would think about, and I was a little, you know, concerned about myself. What I found amazing to me is, even when people do figure it out, just as you mentioned, that lady was okay with you wearing them, they've been okay with it. There seems to be a magic number of about 6 months. After I've been going to a restaurant for about 6 months, someone notices. You know, one of the employees typically will notice. But by then I know them so well, and it's just not a problem. And I continue to go to them. To the point that one of the restaurants had my wife and I over to their house for Thanksgiving dinner. So, you know, they can't be too uncomfortable. And I'm... other than the flip-tops, I'm not wearing anything in there, and we're there all the time. And it's a sit-down restaurant.
So let me ask you, are these flip-tops available for sale?
I'm glad you said that. I am having a serious challenge right now, and I'm working with a manufacturer in Mexico right now. And getting them to do exactly what I want has been one heck of a challenge. So I actually put out on my page that if anyone has any experience in manufacturing or suggestions, please help, because I want to get these out there as soon as possible. And right now I can provide them, but it's literally custom making them, and of course they become cost prohibitive for people. So if you know anyone or can steer me in a direction, I need somebody that can work with leather and, you know, produce some simple straps, really. But that's the challenge.
Actually,
I'm
might
having.
Know someone.
Cool.
Yeah, because I would love to put these on our on a Barefoot as Legal store of some kind that we would put together eventually.
I'd love to have them there. And again, I've said right from the beginning, you know, I was barefoot first, and this was out of necessity I came up with this option.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's worked so well for me, and apparently as you're seeing from other people now with Sierra and everything, I want other people to have that opportunity to not even question whether they have to bring shoes with them. I just don't anymore, as long as I have these with me. And a lot of times in public, I will take them off and not use them, or if I've gotten very comfortable with a place. But if I'm going in someplace for the first time or whatever, I don't even have a concern going in with them on. Restaurant over here, Tijuana Flats, that's has Taco Tuesday. I don't know if you had that when you were down here, but
I heard of it, but never went.
Literally on a Tuesday, we'll get hundreds of people. The line's ridiculous. They move it fast, but it's so. But you got all these people, and here I am sitting in the middle of this on a raised stool, with, you know, the bottom of my feet completely bare, and not getting a second glance, not being treated differently than anyone else around me. And that's not just a one-time situation. That's become the norm. It just never fails to amaze me.
You know what would be even more hilarious, though, would be that if you had ones that just crisscrossed the top of your feet and that's it, so work dress codes can shove it.
Yeah, exactly. If we can get something like that, sure. Once we get them off the ground, we can definitely go in different directions. And again, with the point I was making, you know, I was barefoot first. I want to sell these, obviously, you know, especially now, because to be honest, I've invested quite a bit of money in these things. I actually have a patent as well. And the patent pretty much goes for the foam between the toes versus the loop that you find on pretty
yeah.
much every barefoot sandal out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's very unique, and it's the key to me because it creates that illusion. When someone sees the the foam, you know, just the space going down between, just like you'd see on a flip-flop or a sandal, I think it immediately creates that illusion, and they don't think twice about it. I literally have had people standing right in front of me asking what the bottoms look like, and just amazed when they find out there's no bottom.
I've gotten that with other barefoot sandals that I've tried too. It's, people are just blown away that they look so much like shoes from the top, and then, oh, you're barefoot.
Pretty
cool.
But at that point, Sierra, do people's perceptions change, or do they get mad, or do they think it's cool?
There was one place, it was like a bulk candy store, that they're like, well, health code, blah, blah, blah. Fine, whatever, I'll put on flip-flops, I don't care. But most people don't care.
That's what I found as well. And you know, you're doing it with the single strap one, but with the flip-flop one, I think even more so. Once they see what it is, they just are more interested and more just curious. And again, I'm being, you know, 100%, you know, truthful about this, that it's just been amazing to me, you know, that I've went out of my way to try to get in trouble. It's kind of ironic when you have a product you want to show people and nobody pays attention to it, but that's kind of what it's for.
Yeah.
hard to get it out there.
You know, it's working.
But I walk around all the time in front of employees and places, left and right, and other people. Nothing. Not a problem in the world.
Awesome. Well, we know it works. Nobody pays attention to it. We know it works.
Yeah.
But what is it, and I guess this, we always think this, but what is so important about that part of the body compared to everything else? Nobody ever says, well, how can you handle such and such, or how can you buy an ice cream without gloves on?
Or, oh, my gosh, how can you go out in the sun without a sweater on?
Yeah, I know.
It is interesting. You know, I think we've been brainwashed for so many years on how dangerous it is not to wear shoes, and you're going to get worms and fungus and you name it, and you know, severely hurt yourself, and all, you know, all the opposite of what's true. But it's just been ingrained for so long into our psyche. And
well,
let's
put it this way: even nudist colonies, if you're not wearing shoes, people talk about you. You can have whatever body parts flapping around that you want, but as long as you have your flip flops on, then nobody gets mad.
That's
oh, God,
hilarious.
Let's not go into nudists right now.
Yeah, like
there was a
TV show last year called Buying Naked, and they had a real estate agent selling properties in a nudist colony.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like every place they went, the real estate person would say, hey, to come in here, remember, you have to have your shoes on. And there was one guy that was wearing cowboy boots with socks pulled up over his knees, and he said, I don't go anywhere without my cowboy boots.
You're a nudist. I don't get it.
I think if I was, you know, going into a house for real estate, I'd be more worried about some other things, like slamming a door on something other than my feet.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it is interesting. I know I'm not a nudist. I've seen the different strings we've had going recently on it. And people are very passionate about it, so I'm not going to, you know, infringe on that either. But
I'll admit to sleeping naked. That much I do maybe 5 or 6 days a week.
My feet like to be naked, and if we didn't live in a society that required clothes for most things, pretty sure it would be a little bit of a different story, but I'm not a nudist.
Yeah. I'm not either.
I'm a friend who is, but
I mean, you know, if you want to do that, go for it. Go live in a nudist colony. There's one in Ontario that I know of that's only open from April through October, but it's, I mean, there are plenty of people there. But yeah,
well,
this is
the
Barefoot is Legal show, not the nudism.
I'm not offended, nor am I excited about seeing things, I guess. It's just a part of the body and move on.
Right, exactly.
But I think
exactly.
A lot of that is what people get upset about feet. I mean, really, people are like, oh my gosh, you're dressed inappropriately. You don't have shoes on. It's not professional. Why? You know, I can look at your kneecaps and you might have ugly knees and I don't care that you're wearing a skirt that goes slightly above your knees. I don't get mad at you. What does it matter if my feet are showing?
And hands. I mean, how much attention do we pay to other people's hands? But and how much different are they than having somebody barefoot?
Well, and
right,
how dirty are hands?
And not just
everything.
That, we don't know if somebody picked their nose or came out of the restroom without flushing
hands.
The toilet or who knows what.
Exactly
right. Yeah. Hands are probably dirtier than feet.
That's really, to me, still the amazing part. With the internet now, and if you type in benefits of going barefoot, you will literally, you know, go, you know, boggle-eyed trying to see all of the articles that are out there promoting it, but yet it still doesn't seem to be sinking in. The one thing I have noticed is I've seen an increase in, you know, like when you check Twitter and I look for trends, and I see more and more people talk about driving barefoot than I've noticed in the past. So hopefully that's and that they've seen that it's not illegal, and, you know, that's hopefully going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Hopefully. Well, and as we get more education and as more studies are done, I think it will be a turning point. Like the article that we have here from Harvard, the study that they did into going barefoot. I mean, that Harvard is huge. Everyone knows what Harvard is. Like, pretty much everyone above the age of 10 knows about Harvard and its prestige. And the fact that they've done a study on going barefoot to prevent injury from stress fractures, plantar fasciitis, strains, stress injuries. The fact that they found that it can help you is huge. I mean, the article can be found on barefootrunning.fas.harvard.edu is the link to the study. It's on Harvard's website. I mean, it's not something that they're trying to hide that, oh, going barefoot is good for you. But, I mean, they talk about it strengthens the muscles in your foot, especially the arch. A healthy foot is a strong foot, one that pronates less and is less liable to develop a collapsed arch. It costs less energy to forefoot strike because you use the natural springs in your foot and calf muscles to store and release energy. Running barefoot or in lightweight, minimalist footwear means that there's less mass to accelerate at the end of the runner's leg with each stride. Barefoot running has been shown to use about 5% less energy than shod running. And also, it just feels good. So, I mean, even
and
Harvard
let me,
is
let
getting
Let me ask
on
if I can take this another direction here. But if anyone ever tried to go to a gym and use the treadmill barefoot, to me it's just weird how many people get mad.
I've done it and not had any problems. I mean,
you
as
actually
long as you
had
clean
a problem,
it off afterwards, what's the deal?
But also, it's not the same as running. I remember, Sierra, you mentioning you had some challenges with that. But
well, that was challenges with my feet, not so much with gym members.
No, that's what I meant. It is different than just running barefoot to be on a treadmill barefoot. It's something you definitely have to adjust to.
The friction on your feet when you're running barefoot on a treadmill is very different than running on the ground because the ground isn't moving as you're running on it.
Yeah, but I've heard of people actually complaining, and then they go get the gym attendant, and everybody's talking about, well, we have to use the treadmill after you, and we would prefer your feet not be on the treadmill, but somehow their sneakers are okay.
typically people that are in sneakers at the gym, they only use those sneakers in the gym, so they aren't tracking in things from outside. So
that might be true in some cases, but a lot of people will wear sneakers pretty much everywhere.
And also what I don't understand is if they have their feet encased in sneakers, why do they care if you were running barefoot before them? I mean,
that's a good point.
Any concerns as far as, even though they're invalid, that they might have, but what is the concern? If they have their foot in, armor-coated rubber and plastic, what's their concern?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought about it that way. Yeah, if you're in shoes, how does someone else being barefoot affect you? It doesn't. I mean, what? You're afraid their sweat's going to get on the treadmill? You're supposed
to
wipe them down after you use them anyway.
Well, that's just like if you're in a store and a tattletale might say something to a manager and say, look, that MF doesn't have any shoes on.
Yeah.
I've had that before, standing in line at a competitor to 7-Eleven out here, and I had two African-American guys behind me, and they're laughing about it, saying, hey, this MF don't have no shoes on.
Yeah.
And they're just yelling as loud as they can, so I guess they thought they were funny.
Typically, when I get comments, it's from little kids. Mommy, why doesn't she have shoes on? And, the mom's all embarrassed and, tries to shy away and doesn't answer the kid. And I look at him, I say, because shoes damage your feet, and it's actually healthier. And I've had kids go up to the mom after, Mom, do you know shoes hurt your feet? Do you know shoes can damage your feet? Can I take my shoes off? And they'll be like, yeah, I knew that. And no, you can't. Sit down. oh, my gosh. Why are you intentionally harming your child? Knowingly. You know that shoes can damage feet, and you're still making your kids wear them. I don't get it.
Meanwhile, they're wearing flip-flops.
Actually, yeah. my most recent experience with that, the mom was wearing flip-flops, and her son who asked her was in, dress shoes.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that also is, I've also read before and have noticed myself, children are going to notice this because they're paying attention to the world about them. Things are new experiences. Most people just make the assumption, and I think that's why the flip-flops work so well for us, is they see what they expect to see. And they're just not going to notice nearly as much as a child would.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right there, because children are still, their brains are still wired to learn, and they learn by asking questions and observing the world around them. And so, a kid is told by their parents, you got to put your shoes on, and then they see someone walking around in Walmart with no shoes on. The kid's like, hey, Mom, why doesn't she have to put her shoes on? And the parents usually don't have an answer to that, and I think a lot of times that's why people get upset, is because they don't have an answer for why we don't have shoes on.
Right, but the average person has no clue that we're trying to get organized or that it's more common than someone might think, because it never came up in any conversation they've had over the last 20 years to look it up online.
Exactly. Well, and I think when we take physical education classes in school, they talk about ways to keep our body healthy, but never once do they talk about how going barefoot can be healthy. I mean, they don't talk about most natural things, which I mean,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I would love
fine.
To see grounding involved in physical fitness.
But yeah, if they had more recent research-backed things, and I mean, don't even get me started on health classes in North America, because they're so flawed. But if they had more recent research backing up their textbooks, I think it would do a lot of good, not just in grounding, but in a lot of other things as well.
For sure.
So
on that note,
I'm
we
not
do
impeding
need...
on anybody's things they want to talk about today. I know you're probably up against a break.
Yeah, we do need to take another ad break. When we come back, we have another nice, shiny new article for you about more benefits of living barefoot and ways that you can stay healthy while going barefoot. So we'll chat about that when we come back. So stay tuned and enjoy the ad break.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hello, Freedomists. This is Michael Howell, host of Fighting the Tyranny here at FreedomizerRadio.com. Looking for somewhere to get at your news? Looking to stay on top of current events? Looking to end globalism? Fight the New World Order? What's your fight? Chemtrails? Vaccines? GMOs? Undeclared wars? The Federal Reserves? False flags? We got those too. 9/11? Inside job. Gulf of Tonkin? Never happened. Boston bombing? Set up by the FBI. We cover it all here at Fighting the Tyranny. Join the virtual round table. Bring it all to the table and bring it out in the open and help end globalism and fight the New World Order. Every Wednesday at 6:30 Central Standard Time, 7:30 Eastern Time. Here at Fighting the Tyranny here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
My name is Dr.
As a prepper, facts mean life. It's a good idea to have the facts before you need them. We've got your answers at SurvivalCD.com. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder of SurvivalRing.org, one of the oldest survival-oriented websites on the web, now in our 18th year. Survival Ring focuses on you, providing thousands of downloadable ebooks on survival preparedness and self-reliance information, all for free. Everything we offer online can be yours without spending weeks or months downloading and organizing every file yourself. We've created the Survival CD package made up of 14 multimedia discs, all easily accessed with any computer, with a DVD drive and web browser. Save time and get everything in a package that only takes up 1 inch of shelf space. When you prepare, you want to know history and what threats are most likely where you live. With over 30 gigabytes of preparedness and survival resources, Survival CD gives you everything in one wonderful package, full of useful, always needed, old-school knowledge for when the world gets a bit too crazy and out of control. Add to your plans and abilities with SurvivalCD.com's package of appropriate technology information, manuals, history, how-tos, and good old-fashioned American know-how. SurvivalCD.com, your family emergency preparedness digital library.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Proof and Sierra with us today. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Before the break, Sierra had mentioned an article. Do you want to go forward with that one, Sierra?
Sure. This article is from the Phuket Gazette, which is a newspaper in Thailand. It's called Bare Your Soul, The Benefits of Barefoot Training. And it's basically about how you can increase your health by going barefoot, something that we love to talk about. Because
and by the way, Sierra, can you put that in our Barefoot is Legal thing on Spybooks so that we can throw that on our website?
Absolutely. Go ahead and put a link to that in Facebook's Barefoot is Legal group. Just search Barefoot is Legal in your little search bar. It'll come up as a closed group, and then you can request to join if you're not already a member, and we'll let you in so you can see that. It's just made as a closed group so that people in our group are not targeted by foot fetishists. You know, foot fetishist community, they're out there, not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but unsolicited contact is always something you need to be aware of on the internet.
I just prefer to tell people that we like to keep our thoughts private, that's all.
Well, and that too. So, we'll go with that official statement from now on. But, yeah. Now it's in the group, so you can check it out. If you're listening live right now, it's there in the group now from the Phuket Gazette, which is an awesome rhyming name for newspaper. I think that's awesome. So anyway, the article says, it's hard to complain about life when you're sweating it out with sand between your toes, the tropical sun on your back, and the stunning blue of the Andaman ahead of you. I think that's like an ocean in around Thailand. It's a good thing that barefoot training is catching on and becoming more popular with trainers and coaches. Many people are aware that barefoot running has been gaining in popularity. However, there are many other sports and activities that are prime for barefoot training, including yoga, gymnastics, dance, Muay Thai, other martial arts, and clean the beach boot camps. Training and even walking barefoot is something simple that we can do to improve the health of our feet as well as the rest of our bodies. Being barefoot is natural. Most of us learned to walk barefoot and spent our childhood running around shoeless. Though we quickly become accustomed to shoes, it is an extremely liberating feeling to be without them. Once we get used to the feeling again, we naturally love it. What's strange, though, is that we have developed a mentality which is finally being rolled back, that wearing shoes is natural, and that our feet are fragile and not designed to support us properly. This, of course, isn't the case, and a fairly silly assumption when you think about it. Of all the footed, pawed, and hooved species in the world, why would Homo sapiens need shoes? Lest we forget that an enormous number of people all over the world spend their entire lives without ever wearing shoes. Many wander savannas and rainforests without the protection or support of shoes. The reward is strong, healthy feet. In fact, people who have never worn shoes before have very few foot problems. The foot contains the most proprioceptors, or those sensory nerves, in the body. So why would we want to deafen the messages to the nervous system by minimizing the amount of information received through our feet? The foot contains 26 bones and 25 joints, which means there are a lot of coordination signals necessary to have your feet working at optimal efficiency. The foot has to move in all three planes as it deals with gravity, multiplanar movement, proprioception, and dynamic stability. This all becomes hard when we have a barrier between its sensors and the world, such as orthotics, heel lifts, and so on. The body recognizes movements, not muscles, so the more we can take the foot to the end of its range of function without pain or discomfort, the better it will react, and the more likely it will allow us to activate our abs, even when we are simply walking. Stronger abs is definitely a perk, so I don't know why you wouldn't want that. Six-pack just from walking barefoot? Yes, please. Another advantage is simply that without a shoe on, it's easier to diagnose issues, starting with the feet, that cause other physical issues, such as knee pain, hip dysfunction, or some sort of joint pain. Can't pronounce that. SIJ pain is what they call it. It's best to liken wearing shoes to how grains and dairy have been incorporated in our diets. These are things recently introduced into our lives and have many potential pitfalls, including but not limited to arch pain, arthritis of the foot, bunions, calluses, heel pain, and overlapping toes. And remember, the calluses that they're talking about here aren't the thick, strong, flexible calluses that you get from walking barefoot. The calluses they're talking about here are built-up layers of thickened, keratinized skin from the friction of your shoe rubbing you. On top of this, there are a slew of indirect issues associated with wearing shoes, especially ones that don't fit properly. These issues can develop in your ankles, knees, or hips. They can also develop in your back. So there you have it, the dangers of wearing shoes versus the benefits of wearing, you know, your God-given shoes, your bare feet. I think I'll stick to my bare feet that give me all of this wide range of benefits, including building my abs without even trying. That's a new one that I didn't know about. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And Sierra, you know, I'm not sure about that one because I don't know if it'll improve your chances of getting a six-pack because every ABC Liquors I've ever went into has a no-shoes sign in the front, so I don't know if it's going to improve that or not.
Well, maybe not that kind of six-pack. I don't want that kind of six-pack anyway. I'm Mormon.
Well, it is very interesting that it'll improve that, you know, and it makes sense, too.
Yeah, just in case anybody was wondering here, I don't partake in alcohol either, period.
I'm not
John, you're alone in getting your ABC liquor.
I'm not much for it either, Proof. In fact, I really am not. Don't drink hardly ever. I just had to throw a little humor bite in there.
Although, strangely enough, I will let you know once. I had an 1988 Taurus once, and my transmission went out, and I was able to pull my car into the ABC Liquor at Beach Boulevard, and that's the only time I've ever been to ABC Liquor in my life.
That's actually the only time I've ever been in a liquor store as well. My car broke down, and I was able to pull it into a liquor store parking lot and went in and used their phone.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much in the same thing. I just, like I said, interjecting a little humor there.
I've gone in for moving boxes.
Yeah.
Although, Sierra, I don't know, well, both of you have lived the corporate life just as myself, so I had a legitimate question in regards to shoes, and it just seems like back when I first started working a day job, it was the toe portion that people were upset that you were showing. And now it just seems like some jobs, you can have nothing over the top of your foot as long as you have something around the back of your heel. I'm just curious, Sierra, why? What is it about the back of your foot that's so important for people?
I have no idea. It doesn't affect anything.
Same here.
Maybe just so your shoe doesn't come off when you're running out of the building if it's on fire? Like, that's... the only thing I can think of, and that doesn't even make sense because you're not supposed to run out of the building when it's on fire. You're supposed to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is they're probably thinking somebody can easily slip off a shoe without a back easier, but I don't see why it would be any issue.
We've got a comment here from one of our listeners, Kevin Stevens. He's a regular listener and regular commenter. He says, the thing that still amazes me is that when you go into a store and some employee tells you you must wear shoes or you need shoes, and the health code excuse always comes up, they will do what they can to make you leave thinking it's store policy without even looking it up. But then when you call the corporate office, they say different, make their apologies, and then welcome you back. Why is it that barefooters are treated differently? And I mean, that's really something that I ask myself all the time. Why are barefooters treated differently? Why is our money considered of less
value
than
other
customers?
And not just that people are empowered to curse us out and just rip us one side and down the other.
Yeah, there's this belief that it's so against society to do that they have an obligation to intervene. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like you pulled your male private out and just peed in the ketchup aisle.
Oh, gosh. Please don't do that. But, yeah, they get about offended.
I mean, that's how you're treated. It's exactly that. Or you decided to light up a marijuana, a spliff or something while waiting on your seafood.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and people do forget about that. And then you get people who are like, well, you know, If you can go barefoot and that's natural, why can't I take a dump in public? That's natural. And the difference is, A, going barefoot is not unsanitary. Going barefoot is fine. Even if you do get something on your feet that you might track in somewhere, as the dead skin sloughs off, so does whatever's on your foot. And B, going barefoot is not illegal. Taking a dump in public is. I've actually had someone say this to me. And it's the same struggle with breastfeeding. They're like, oh, you know, if you can breastfeed in public, why can't I go pee myself in public? Because that's not sanitary.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's a natural body function doesn't mean it's the same thing as walking around barefoot. And I actually do get people that say that to me.
Yeah, and the thing you mentioned, you know, you started to go into a point about, you know, feet are self-cleaning. I don't think a lot of people realize that, but with every step you take, you're literally cleaning off what was on there. A lot of times.
Yeah, unless you're walking on blacktop in Las Vegas on June 22nd.
Right, and there.
Or
it's
inside
really
of Walmart,
rubber.
It's really dirty.
It's really the rubber that you're pulling up on blacktop. A lot of people think it's the asphalt, mm-hmm. but it's really the rubber that you're pulling up. So it's no different than a shoe. It's rubber. But
that might be why the inside of Walmarts are so dirty, too. Well, I mean, not that they're, like, filthy and they don't clean them, but that you walk inside a Walmart and your feet instantly turn black. It might be from all the tires on the shopping carts rubbing off on the floor.
That's true. Now, also, that's interesting because I was thinking the one by us is really one of the cleanest places. So maybe that's, I guess it all depends on the cleaning curve.
Maybe they mop their floor more frequently than the ones that I go to. Because any time I go in a Walmart, my feet are just black when I come out.
Yeah, I'm
West Edmonton Mall, too.
We actually, one of our routines since I do the pet rescue is we stop off at this specific Walmart, typically in the morning, to get some shopping done that we need to do. And not that I care to eat that, but sometimes we'll stop in the McDonald's there. They have one inside of the Walmart. And I've never had a single problem there, and I've actually been amazed how clean it is in there, to be honest. So I guess it depends on the, yeah, the one.
Yeah, it depends on their cleaning schedule.
Yeah. And I also think overall stores these days are cleaner than they were when I was growing up. I can remember going into some stores when I was younger that, you know, were really, really nasty. But that could be all just a perception, too. Depending on where you're
yeah.
At.
Yeah, I don't know. Just something curious that I've noticed. My feet are always black when I come out. Not just Walmarts, I mean Targets too. Not hating on Walmart here.
Yeah. I guess that's the bizarre part for me because these are places that I've noticed pretty much the opposite. So again, probably depends on where you're at.
Yeah, you guys make me feel like I don't go shopping all that much because I work two jobs during the week, so I don't get to hang out at a China Mart or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, what really gets me
much.
Is people get upset about bare feet, but they don't get upset about, like, the gross things that shoes do to your feet. Like, you get all kinds of, like, weird toenail stuff going on. If you are wearing closed-toed shoes regularly, you're more likely to get ingrown toenails. Sometimes the friction causes your toenails to just fall off. You get blisters that can get infected. Like,
that's another thing
you
that's hilarious to me when people complain about their shoes hurting, but they don't take them off.
Yeah. Well, also, foot fungal infections are caused by wearing athletic shoes. It's not called athlete's foot because athletes get it in the shower after they work out. It's athlete's foot because they pick up a fungus. Who knows where, maybe in the pool, maybe in the gym, who knows where.
And then
they
put their
coffins
on.
Keep their shoe in this, like, sweaty, nasty shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. And
that they pay $200 for.
Yeah. Well, it's also the same, it's the same fungus that, that's called jock itch, the groin fungal infections. It's the same one that causes
Well, yeah,
because
you can't walk around like Guy Purcell on a regular basis.
No, not really. But, I mean, these things that you get from wearing shoes, especially athlete's foot, everyone's like, oh, you go barefoot, how do you not get athlete's foot? It's not from being barefoot. It's from questionable hygiene and sticking sweaty, dark places that allow fungus to grow on your body.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a little bit of a theory, and I don't know how you all have noticed, but our bodies typically, when they're healing, will itch a little bit. So it's part of the healing process. So I believe when people first start going barefoot, you know, their body is actually healing itself, and they feel an itch, and immediately they figure they have fungus or something and, you know, go in the opposite direction completely.
It also could just be dry skin.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's going
to dry out because you're not having it encased in these little terrariums you're walking around with.
Absolutely.
So it will.
And to all new barefooters, I recommend rubbing coconut oil on your feet. And then if you're also worried about athlete's foot, coconut oil is antifungal. So it will fight any sort of infection you might get close to. So if you are worried about that, or if your feet are dry, if they're cracking, coconut oil is like nature's miracle. The stuff is amazing.
Right, right. I've heard that many times, honestly. But back to what I was saying is, you know, I truly believe that people will start to itch for whether it's because it's getting dry or because it's healing or whatever it may be. and then immediately they figure this is dirty and nasty and I'm getting fungus and I got to get away from it.
Yeah.
When in actuality they're healing. They're actually in the healing process.
Well, for sure. And like that first article we were talking about says, the way to heal your feet is to go barefoot. From runforefoot.com, I mean, they are proponents of going barefoot, so they might have a bit of a biased perspective. But even the Harvard study, which is totally neutral, said that going barefoot is better for you. And when your feet are injured by shoes, the best way to heal them is to let them be barefoot. And as part of that healing process, you may begin to itch. Like if you get a scab, it starts to itch when it's about to fall off. I don't know what causes that, but it's just something that happens as your body is healing.
Right, exactly.
Even my wisdom teeth itched after I got them out.
Well, my face is itching thanks to Bell's palsy. It's
healing.
Maybe your body's
on?
Healing itself.
That's good. I mean, it's good as healing.
Yeah, the only thing with me right now is being that it's over 110 out, if I'm out in the sun, my eye dries out, and if I don't put eye drops in, it hurts.
I can see that.
So I just looked it up just out of curiosity, why healing nerves itch. And according to advancedtissue.com, which is a medical site that I just found on Google and know nothing of their qualifications to speak on this, but they said that specialized nerves detect when the skin is being irritated and send signals to the spinal cord, which communicates it as an itch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And also the cells around the wound or whatever is healing multiplying causes the wound to, grow a little bit, which is what swelling kind of comes from, all the new cells around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the cells unite at the center to heal it up, they attach together and contract to pull the wound shut. And this causes mechanical stress that activates the same nerve responses and tells the spinal cord that this is an itch. So if you're feeling an itch when you first start going barefooting, it might just be your feet healing from the problems that they had that you didn't even know about.
Exactly. But I think that's another reason why, you know, if you read people that have gone barefoot and they say they're not going to because this happened or that happened, it's because they're so not used to the natural state, because they've been locked up in shoes their whole life, that they immediately think it's bad if, you know, they get a different effect from being barefoot. You know, it's just normal for them in their mind that the back of their heel is going to get, you know, ripped off and burning from the friction. But yet, if you're going barefoot and something starts to itch or something, that must not be good.
Sorry, I was on mute there for a second. We did just drop proof. His phone was giving us a lot of staticky feedback, so we have dropped the call with him. But it's just, I think there's a lot of misconception against going barefoot. I think that causes a lot of the fears that people have too. I mean, like we just talked about with the itching, people think they're going to get a fungus. And it's just a lack of education. Really, it is. Which is
exactly.
Kind of excusable considering Google's around these days.
And that's the amazing part. But one of the things when I study, I like to study human nature and look at the reactions people have, and you'll notice it's pretty universal. In fact, the exact sentences, the same way, it's really amazing how people approach things. And, you know, they use the same common words of gross and nasty, and ratchet's a new term, I guess, for your generation more than mine, that you see often.
Well, ratchet means more ghetto than, gross or nasty, which, I mean, I guess you think ghetto, poor people that can't afford shoes. I guess that would, I kind of see where the term ratchet would be applied, but I don't think it's applicable. Gross and nasty, I understand more.
If you
feet inside shoes are
that,
gross and nasty.
In Twitter, if you type that in barefoot, you would be amazed how the it's used to convey that.
Ratchet barefoot.
Yep.
Let's see what they say. Oh, my gosh. Oh, they must be talking about barefoot wine.
No, that's not what.
Oh, my ratchet boyfriend just went into Little Caesars barefoot, shaking my head. Yeah, he's ratchet for going into Little Caesars, though, not for being barefoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
Huh.
That's going to be worse for his health than going barefoot ever was.
Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised. Ratchet Barefoot Adventures. Okay, then. You don't know you're Ratchet until you pump gas barefoot in Georgia. I do that all the time. I always pump gas barefoot. You people need to live a little.
But not in Georgia.
No, I don't think I've ever actually pumped gas in Georgia.
But the amazing part is you will find certain terminologies and just they're universal that people use to describe it. And again, it goes back to the nasty, gross, all that that's attached to it as well.
Yeah. Well, I think ratchet might be the new evolution of hillbilly. Because, I mean, you think about it, lots of, like maybe even just a year ago before ratchet became really a popular term. Because I've heard it being applied to strange fashions in mostly black, mostly poor neighborhoods as being described as ratchet. So it might be the new, like, ghetto or hick term. So it's
could
just,
be.
I don't know.
But again, if the two words tied together, you'll get tweets till you can't read anymore.
Yeah,
so
oh my gosh. I can't even believe this. There's so many.
So,
last night, some white guy walking around town barefoot called me ratchet. Okay. Oh, here's one that's actually ratchet. A girl walking around Louisiana State University in just socks. That's I'll give her that one.
And that
but
is
yeah,
another popular trend you'll see. You'll see people that they call it
socks.
Barefoot. But they're wearing socks instead of shoes everywhere. And
yeah, I don't get that. To get around the shoes required rule at my college campus, I did actually purchase a pair of those, like those non-slip rubber-soled socks, and I wore those around campus. But they were like the socks that just go like around your foot for dress shoes. So they actually kind of looked like ballet slippers. So
yeah, I know.
It worked for about a month. Before you said anything. I was like walking 4 miles a day in these poor socks. Yeah.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Too funny.
The things I do to avoid shoes.
Don't we all? Look at me. I went and spent thousands of dollars to avoid shoes. Hopefully I can get at least a little bit of it back. But
yeah.
Because
once you're manufacturing stuff is figured out, and once my web store gets a facelift, thebarefootgirl.com/store, John's flip tops are going to be available there, as well as a bunch of other new and exciting products made by and for barefooters. So look forward to that. I'm working with the designer who did Modest Bell Clothing, which is a new clothing store based in Knoxville, Tennessee. Modest Bell, B-E-L-L-E clothing.com. I'm working with the guy who designed that website to help me get my store actually looking like a functioning, pretty store instead of the ratchet mess that it is right now. Because I built it, and my coding experience is not that much. So it's kind of hideous right now.
10 times more than mine, I can say that. But, again, Sierra, if you know anyone as far as for manufacturing, please let me know.
I actually do. I'll put him in contact with you as soon as we get off the air.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm working actually in Mexico. I also have a contact in Costa Rica I'm working with. I'm trying to stay.
This guy's in Canada, so good luck finding an American one. But
well, that's it. It's really sad, in my opinion, but trying to get them made here is just so cost prohibitive, and I mean I understand why, But it's sad, really.
Yeah. Well, Canada, at least he speaks English. I don't know if your
right.
contact in Mexico and Costa Rica, they might speak Spanish. I don't know.
They do. But so that's half the battle, too, is the interpretation. But I would definitely be interested in seeing what they have to offer. I'm determined that I want a quality product, but I want to keep the price where everybody's comfortable with it.
Right.
To me, this needs to be something where people want to get it, to try it, and then it can really have an impact on their life. Again, I was a barefooter first. This is really something to promote it, to keep it going. If it pays off some of the money I put into it, wonderful. But the main thing for me is to, once you've lived this lifestyle and know the benefits and have felt the different benefits that are just amazing, you want other people to experience that.
Absolutely. Because it's such a great feeling that you get just from walking around barefoot. I mean, it's so freeing. It's absolutely the most
liberating.
Freeing feeling.
Definitely freeing. Liberating is another term I see often people will determine. In fact, I read one recently. A lot of times people will start walking barefoot to raise money for some cause. And almost every single time they'll complain about how it hurts and everything else. I think they're doing that partially for their cause. But at some point, especially when they get near the end, they're like, it was so liberating, they're not going to put their shoes back on, or they're going to continue their quest.
Yeah, there's quite a few instances of that where
you
go barefoot for a year for charity or whatever, and then you decide never to put shoes back on. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, again, my thoughts on this, you're getting into the cause from a secondary cause. I mean, I got into going barefoot from modeling for a foot fetish porn site. Because I was naive and young and didn't know any better. But, I mean, look where it got me. I mean, I'm perfectly happy living full-time barefoot and no longer modeling for fetish porn websites. Because that was a questionable lapse in my judgment at that young teenage juncture in my life.
You can model for barefoot products now. That'll be funny.
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly. We do have the little notice on the studio saying we need to get off the air so the next show can start. If you're listening on Freedomizer Radio, make sure you refresh your page so that the next show can start for you. Otherwise, they'll just play us again. And I know you love us, but give the other guys a chance. Sound Doctrine Spiritual Ministries Fellowship Program is on next. So thank you so much for listening to us. Be sure to tune in to us next week. Have a happy week. Stay barefoot. Stay safe. Make sure you tell us all your stories so we can talk about them on here. Thanks so much. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. I look forward to your contact, Sarah. See you, Sierra.